Good morning, everyone. We want to give you an earnest word of welcome along to the morning service of our Harvest Thanksgiving meetings. We appreciate your presence. It's good to have such a good number gathered with us at this Sabbath morning meeting. One verse of Scripture that we'll read to you just at the outset, Philippians 4:19. It's a great promise. It's appropriate for Harvest Thanksgiving service such as this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The harvest is a reminder to us of God's provision. As we look back over the summer, look back over the last year, the Lord has supplied our every need. And we stand in this promise even in the uncertain days, great uncertainty financially. We stand on this promise as we look out into the future as well. We're singing together the words of the second paraphrase as we commence the service this morning. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. The second paraphrase, and we're standing to sing, please. Seek the Lord's face together. Heavenly Father, we do approach thy throne of grace. We rejoice that we're able to come to thee. We want to pray, Father, that you would come today and teach us as we're gathered in thy house. We ask thee, Father, teach us from thy word. Pray that you might teach us to pray. We left that petition of the apostles of long ago up before thee. Come and guide us now by your Spirit. We want to ask that the Holy Ghost will come down upon this meeting. We ask thee, Father, to still us in your house. We're conscious even of the busyness of the morning, even, Father, though it is thy day, so many things to attend to in the home, some on the farm, even here in the house of God. But we want to pray, Father, that you'll settle our hearts. Pray from the very outset that we'll be assured that we're in your presence. Want to be conscious, Father, that the Lord himself has come and presence himself with us in his house today. We thank you, Father, for the words of praise that we've been singing. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed. And Lord, we acknowledge today your faithfulness, your goodness. Thank you for this Sabbath that is especially set apart as a day of thanksgiving to God for his goodness and for his provision. We're mindful, Father, of the certainty, the sureness of the promise that while the earth remains, that there would be seed time and harvest. There would be summer and winter. There would be cold and heat. And Lord, we thank you for the evidence even around us in thy house today of the Lord's faithfulness and of the harvest that has been once again gathered in. Lord, we praise thee for that. We recognize that it's your bounty, that you've been pleased again to crown this year with your provision and to crown this year with your bounty. Lord, we thank you for supplying our every need. We rejoice in this great promise. Lord, we confess there's so many days that we take that provision for granted. It's only, Father, at times of great uncertainty that we become a little afraid and a little nervous. But Lord, we want to thank you that every day of this year, and Lord, we can say too, every one of us, that every day of our lives, you have provided for us all that we have required. We thank you for help given to the farmers, to the gardeners, to all that have been involved in the work on the land. We thank you for weather that has been suitable and favorable. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your bounty. We think of those words that we'll sing a little later. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by thine almighty hand. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll give us today the spiritual harvest. Our prayer is that in thy house that souls will be saved, that there'll be those that will be spoken to. Lord, we think of the words that we sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Lord, let that be our experience, even this very day. Thank you for the work in the Sunday school and the Bible classes. Thank you for all the boys and girls. Lord, bless them. Thank you for every young person gathered in this meeting today. Lord, our prayer is that you'd put your hand upon them. We want to ask that you would speak to them. Father, from their earliest days, Timothy was able to say that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. What a mercy, what a blessing that is. And Lord, our prayer is that all these children early in life will come to Christ, put their trust in him. Bless the work, Father, of the Sunday school, the Bible classes, the children's meetings, the youth fellowship. Especially mindful, Father, of the parent and toddler group as it will recommence again tomorrow morning. Lord, bring in many little ones from this community. We pray that it will be owned of God. Pray it'll be the means of touching many lives, many families, even introducing many families and many children to this house and introducing them to the message of the gospel. I want to thank you, Father, for the broadcast this morning on Radio Ulster from our Clocker Valley Church. We think of all the work that has gone into that, all the thought and the plans, the preparation. Praise thee for the hand of God upon it. Thank you for the going forth of your word so clearly. Lord, we ask thee to use the message of the gospel as it has gone across the land. And even, Father, by means of the internet, it will go across the earth as well. Encourage the brethren and sisters there. Lord, may it be the means of bringing many visitors into the congregation. Even may it be the means of bringing new families into the church there in Clocker Valley. Lord, I want to thank you for the work that was carried out yesterday, for all the decorations of the church, all that were here and involved in that, all that contributed to it. We think of the work that has been conducted on the church grounds, both yesterday and even in recent days by some others also. And thank you for the willingness, Father, of all that came to give a hand, to play a part. Pray that each one will be blessed and encouraged. Thank you for the times of fellowship that we enjoyed together. And we want to pray, Father, that you'll bless this work, that you'll lead it on. We pray that you'll guide us and direct us. We do thank you, Father, for all that you've done for this work in the past. As we look back, we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And Lord, as we look forward, we want to pray that you'll lead us on to greater days of blessing. Our prayer is that the best days of this congregation will yet be before it. Thank you for tokens for good, even this day already. Lord, bless our fellowship. Bless us as we meet together. Make us a blessing to each other. Lord, help us to take the time to speak to those around us in the house of God, even when the meeting is over. And Lord, we pray that we'll be the means of exhorting one another, even as your word teaches. Thank you today for your servant that has come amongst us. We praise thee for the call of God in his life, his surrender to that call. Thank you for how you used him down in Carrickfergus, the new door that you've opened to him in Ballinahinch. Thank you for enabling them to settle there. And Lord, we want to pray that our brother will be mightily used in that district. Lord, we ask that he might be a soul winner like Barnabas. The word of God says that much people was added on to the Lord. Pray, Father, use our brother in a similar manner. Pray that you'll help him today. Pray that he'll settle in this meeting, that he'll know the Lord's presence. Pray that he'll have that peace that is God's word, God's message for this meeting. And Lord, our prayer is that you would use him and speak through him. Lord, we have come today not just to put in the time. We've come to worship thee, to acknowledge your greatness, your bounty to us. And Lord, we've come that you might break the bread of life. Come and give us today a word from your mouth. Answer these, our prayers. We offer them to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to take the opportunity to welcome each one along to the Lord's house. Thank you for your presence with us at our harvest service this Sabbath morning. I want to thank those that are visiting with us, especially for coming along to the meeting today. It's always an encouragement to us to have visitors in the services, and we want you to know that we're glad that you've come. Our prayer is that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this meeting. We're thankful for all the children and all the young people that are present. We want the young people to know that we appreciate you coming along to the church services as well. We welcome also those that are watching on the live stream of this service. We're glad that you've been able to join us in that manner. To those that come from this area, we want to encourage you to come along to the services. We certainly would be very glad of your presence and the opportunity to fellowship with you. Just to take a moment or two to express thanks to everyone that helped prepare the church for the harvest. We thank all that gathered yesterday morning. There was a good number that were present. And we thank all that brought the various items, including some of the children. We're thankful to the children for their willingness to contribute of some of their toys as well. And if you come up to the front, you'll be able to see those when the service is over. We're thankful to all that did the arrangements, that used their talents and their gifts in that manner. You can see there's been a lot of time and a lot of effort put into the arrangements and the preparations. And it's good to have all of these reminders around us in the service today and the evening service too. All of these reminders of the Lord's goodness and of the Lord's faithfulness to us. It all looks very well. It's very much appreciated. And just to say to you, to remind you, you can take your various items home with you again tonight once the service is over. We also want to thank all that helped with the church cleanup. There was a good number here to be involved in that. There was a lot of work that has been done. Some did the work to help before yesterday, earlier in the week before as well. So we want to thank everyone that was involved in that. Some brought machinery. Some took away some of the cuttings. The weather too was favourable for us. We thank the Lord for his goodness. There is some more work that is still to be done. We will organise another morning just to engage in a little bit more of that tidy up, maybe before the winter comes. We also enjoyed and appreciated the refreshments that were served yesterday morning. It was all very, very tasty. And it was a very good time of fellowship. We're glad we're able to do that again. The times of fellowship are very important to us. And all that were gathered, both that were doing the work and as we gathered around the table, we enjoyed the fellowship, the times of speaking together. So we appreciate everyone's labours, everyone's part in all of these important aspects of the ministry here. We take the opportunity as well to commend the Clocker Valley Church on the excellent broadcast on Radio Ulster this morning. It was evident there's a lot of thought and planning that went into it. There was a clear presentation of the gospel, the hymns that were sung, the message and song by the young people, the readings. There was an Armagh connection with our sister, Mrs. Avril Robinson, the testimony that she gave. Remember that Avril was happy to her maiden name. She certainly knew the Lord's help. There was a good, clear word of testimony that was given. I'm sure the family is very encouraged by the testimony that she gave. And we encourage you to pray for fruit to be born, souls to be saved. The Clocker Valley Church will receive a lot of encouragement as a result of that broadcast. Remember, please, the meetings later today and in the incoming week. 6 o'clock tonight is the prayer meeting downstairs in the hall. 6:30, the gospel service. The preacher tonight, the Reverend Timothy Omerod from our Six Mile Cross congregation. It's encouraging today, both of our preachers are sons of ministers of this congregation, or sorry, of this denomination. It's very encouraging when it's children brought up in the manse, then following their father's footsteps into the work of the gospel. Some of you remember the late Reverend Robert Omerod, just a little over 10 years from her brother, unexpectedly was called home to glory. So do remember the Reverend Omerod as he comes this evening to preach. He's the minister down in Six Mile Cross. The singers are sister Mrs. Natasha Atchison from the Ballygown Church. Remember, Natasha came and sang for us out at Hutchison's at the drive-in meetings one of the evenings last summer. So do remember that meeting. Come yourself. Endeavour to invite others to come. Just to remind you, we're having building fund offerings taken at both services today. We've done that for a number of years over the harvest services. So please put your gift in an envelope and mark it for the building fund and place it on the plate at the doors. I'm preaching tonight down in the Hebron Church in Ballymoney at Miss Noreen McAfee's sending forth service. We value your prayers for that meeting. And do remember Miss McAfee as she returns to Uganda, God willing, this coming Tuesday. Remember her as she leaves her mother, her aged mother, whose health is not good. So pray that she would know the Lord's grace and help as she goes back to the land of her calling, God willing, in this incoming week. Tomorrow morning, between 10 and 11:30, is the parent and toddler group recommencing again. Remember, it'll be on the first and the third Monday morning of every month. Contact our sister Laura Gardner for more details, or if you can help with the parent and toddler group. There are leaflets in the porch with the details. We'd be glad of your help in making that known, so please take the leaflets and give them out and pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon it. Tuesday evening, 7:15, there's the two bride hours, the children's meeting here in the church hall and also down in the band hall in Killalea. Please make those known. Encourage all the children in your family and your area to go along to those meetings. Wednesday at 8:00, the prayer meeting and Bible study. in the church hall, and I'll be speaking myself at that meeting in the will of the Lord. Friday night at 8 is the youth fellowship, and the speaker this Friday evening is Mr. Fred West, one of our committee men, the Bible class leader, the senior Bible class leader. Fred always brings a very good word, so we encourage the young people to come along to hear our brother on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 9th of October, the Sunday school and Bible class is at 10:40, the morning service 11:30, the evening gospel meeting 6:30. There is the half hour of prayer before each service. Remember that we recommenced the prayer meeting before the morning meeting this Lord's Day. So we encourage you to come that wee bit early for the seasons of prayer. Just to mention to the older folk, if you'd like to attend the prayer meeting before the morning service, feel free to come through this door. It's held in the minister's room, if that's any easier for you, and even come back out through that way. Come back out into the church again through this door, if that makes it just a wee bit more easy for you to attend. We'd appreciate your support at that meeting as well. The Whitfield College of the Bible will be conducting deputation meetings here next Lord's Day. We always like to have the students along. It's an important part of the college ministry. It keeps the work of the college before us. It lets us meet, get to know those that are going through the college at this time, hear some of them participate in the meetings. So some of the students of the Whitfield College will be with us next Lord's Day to conduct both of the service. So we encourage you to come to hear the students. It would be a great encouragement to them if you were present. The students' meetings in the Tyndale Church in Belfast, they recommence this coming Wednesday night. They've asked us to make that known. The details of the speakers at all of those meetings, they're held every fortnight, are on the students' meeting Facebook page. So take a wee look at that, and we encourage those that are studying down in Belfast to go along to those meetings in the Tyndale Church. Finally, just to sympathise with two members of the congregation, Mrs. Edith Castles, on the death of her aunt, Mrs. Ivy Sturrett, passed away last Lord's Day. The funeral service was on Tuesday past. Mrs. Sturrett knew the Saviour. We rejoice in that knowledge. And also we sympathise with Mr. Oscar McCall on the death of his aunt, Mrs. Bessie Morton. We understand that Bessie was Oscar's mother's sister, passed away last Saturday. The funeral was in Lisloonie on Tuesday past. So to both of these families, to our sister Edith, our brother Oscar, and to their family circles, we pray that you will know the Lord's presence and that you will experience the Lord's comfort through these days of bereavement. We're going to sing together, please, some of the verses of the hymn 732. The hymn 732, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain." 732, we'll stand and sing all of the verses of the hymn together, please.
Fed and watered by God's almighty hand.
Delighted this Sabbath morning to have as our guest speaker at the Harvest meeting our good friend and colleague, the Reverend Stephen McRae, the minister of the Ballinahinch congregation. Our brother was just installed as the minister there at the beginning of July. He had laboured previously in Carrickfergus, just outside the city of Belfast. As a congregation, we want to assure him we have been remembering him in our prayers, especially as he's taken up the work there in Ballinahinch. And there's, of course, a connection with some of, at least one of the families of our church here and the Ballinahinch congregation too. So we want to assure him of our prayers. We wish him God's richest blessing upon his ministry there. Some of you will remember, some of the older members, that his dad, the Reverend William McRae, was a member of this congregation way back at the very beginning. We were looking through some of the old revivalists just recently. This was the 12th, remember, this was the 12th congregation formed of the Free Presbyterian Church back in 1965. Sometimes we forget that in the days in which we live, when there's quite a number of congregations now numbering over 60. So if you wanted to attend the Free Presbyterian Church back in those early days, you had to travel some distance. So his dad, I think his father, that'd be Stephen's grandfather, brought him down to the meetings here from Stewartstown. So the McRae family have a connection with the Armagh congregation going back to those early years. So we welcome our brother warmly. We're delighted to have him. And we're going to ask him to come and read the scriptures and preach the word of God.
Put it here so I can take off my jacket. Makes it a little bit easier. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to see each one of you gathered here as well. And thank your minister for his invitation. And as he did say, that as my father was brought down by his father, it was strange, a man of Bray Presbyterian, bringing a son to a Free Presbyterian church all up in Armagh. But we're thankful for the Lord for the indication that he was saved by God's grace and he gathered here. And we're just going to a short word of prayer before we come to the Word of God. This church is lovely, by the way. I'll speak of that in a few minutes' time as well. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, as we gather here this morning, we thank thee for each and everything that's come to pass already. We thank thee for the boys and girls, for the young people, the married couples, for, O Lord, as older people as well. We thank thee for every single person here. O Lord, may we go home saying it's been good for us to be here, for here we met afresh with the Lord. Bless us now, we ask of thee, as we come to thy word, and give us help from above, we pray, in Jesus' precious name's sake. Amen and amen. We are going to turn to Deuteronomy this morning, chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going to turn to that passage of scripture. And let me say, as I come up this morning, there was a number of indications. Last night got a phone call from a lady in the church. She said, "You're going to see my sister tomorrow in Armagh." And she says, "Well, make sure you say hello to her." I says, "Well, if I don't know her, make sure she says hello to me first." So I'm able to get to see her. That was a lady called Hazel Price. And she says, "That's my home congregation here in Armagh." So coming down the road, another indication coming in, as her brother said, that testimony on the radio of Arville. And she's from our Armagh congregation too. As we come in here, we're thankful to the Lord for the great views you have. And walk in and see immediately. You're caught by what you've presented there regarding the Queen, little crowns as well, and the harvest time is just evident, hits you. And as we come in here, and whoever did all this work, it's amazing. And it's amazing what you've done. My grandfather was a farmer. I then had to look after, sheep, we looked after cows, and they did many other things. I actually collected eggs for a long time myself with a farmer. I'm not saying many, but there was like thousands of them each day as well. So we're doing all those things, and we're connected to the farmers, and we're thanking the Lord for not only the farmers, but the fishermen too. I think sometimes we forget about the fish that we have too, and remembering all those things. But as you've turned to Deuteronomy chapter 26, let me just stop for a second. I don't want to go to... And by the way, our brother asked me to come. He didn't say how long I have. So I've got time, he hasn't said. But you know, I want to say to the boys and girls one second. Who likes apples? Because if you don't like apples, you're not from County Armagh. Because County Armagh has got apples galore. And I walked in and seen the apples. I knew this was apple country side. But boys and girls, who likes to eat apples? There's the first hand down the back. There's a man who loves apples. Girls love here. These ones here. Anybody over here? These two over here down the bottom like apples. Well, who likes climbing apple trees? There's that man loves it. Do you know when I was a boy, I used to love going climbing trees. But sometimes the apple trees I climbed weren't the nice apples. They were crab apples. And I found out later they weren't the nice apples to eat. They had them at the time, but you know, they weren't actually what they should have been. But you know, boys and girls, sometimes we like to climb up trees. I enjoy it. There's a young boy in my church that challenged me to climb a tree. Brother, have you ever been challenged by anybody in your church to climb up a tree? Well, boys and girls, there's your challenge. I'm giving it to you this morning. But you know, boys and girls, sometimes we love to climb trees. I loved to climb trees when I was younger. And I make sure I say that. You know, boys and girls, whenever I climbed trees, we always got up. And sometimes it got hard to get back down again. Sometimes we were unsure if we were going to get back down again. And sometimes we needed that help. There's a little man in the Bible called Zacchaeus. He got up. He may as well get stuck up there because he was there for a period of time. It took until someone gave him help to get down. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come down. You know, boys and girls, when we're thinking about the trees, we think about all these apples, we think about all these fruit and vegetables that's before us. I just think of how that we go up. And sometimes we need somebody to help us to get on a little further. You know, boys and girls, for you, I believe that every boy and girl should get a message from the Lord as well. She should get a word in her meeting. And boys and girls, I believe that as you go on every day, you need the Lord to help you. No matter how big you are, no matter how small you are. I was in my own church in Ballinhinch, and thank you for your prayers. We thank the Lord for the tokens of good of two young children being saved already. We thank the Lord for that. But you know something, as I was telling, there was a little girl in our church in Ballinhinch. And one day, she was in the church needing something. And she looked around and says, who can help me? Who's the one that can help me? And she looks up to the minister and she goes, come here. She's 2 years of age. Imagine leading the minister, trying to direct the minister. But you know, as I thought of that young girl and I thought about the young boys and girls here in Armagh this morning, what that wee girl was doing was she was leading me in a direction. But I was also helping her to go in the right direction. I believe for every boy and girl and mums and dads, I believe that's what we should be doing for our boys and girls, leading them in the right direction. And I've been praying for this meeting before I come. I was praying for that the Lord would help in the Sunday schools, help the mums and dads. But I believe that boys and girls should be led well and lead them. I pray that mums and dads will lead them, whether it's up those trees to climb for a moment or two to learn the mistakes, or where it is, but just make sure they get to their place where they need to go. And mums and dads, I would encourage you just to keep praying for young children. Keep encouraging them. Grannies and grandas, say, what can I do? Get them to the tree. Get them to where they can hear about the things of God. And get them into the house of the Lord. And I trust that they will hear a word that their brother will be used of God even in these meetings. I'm taking my watch off just because it's always on my arm. I like to get it off. It's going to stick to my arm now this morning. Deuteronomy, I'm going to read just for a few minutes because I want to get to something here for you and hope that it will be a word for your hearts. I know the clock's up here, but we're going to read Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. And it says, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it and dwell therein. Thou shalt take of the first fruit of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt put it in the basket, and shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Thou shalt go into the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, and I am come into the country which I swear unto your fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take of the basket out of the hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord of thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty and prosperous, populous. And the Egyptian evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. We'll end our reading there. There's many other parts we could read in that passage of Scripture, but if you want to read on down or cast your eyes down, you'll see many things in the verses 8, 9, 10, and into verse 11. But as I think of harvest time, and I was thinking about this meeting and how the Lord was directing our hearts, there's challenges which always come every year. Those challenges always need to be met, whether they're in the work of the Lord, and the work of the Lord is important. I believe, and also there's a challenge in our own hearts that we need to keep on serving God. You know, we come to this harvest time, God is the great giver. God gives life. God gives bread. God gives us all things provided for us that we have on our tables in our home that are set before us also here. I went to a farm outlet yesterday just to get a few things, to get a few vegetables for my own home, just to be able to have those things and to support some local family that was having a little farm at their house, a farm shop. Here these children of Israel, they're looking to get forward, they're looking to go on. But as they look on, they're not forgetting where they come from. They're not forgetting where they've come from. Child of God, I believe, for every one of us, we should never forget where we are, where we come from. For if you're ever going to go forward in the Lord and take ground for the Lord, we have to want to go forward. The children of Israel here, they're looking forward to what God has for them in the land. They're ready to step into the promised land. They're delighted with knowledge that God has brought them to this point. And they've been used to what the world was able to do. The world pressed upon them. The world hurt them. But now they're saying, I'm leaving that world behind. I'm going forward. And they're going in the direction which God has for them to go. Here we see Moses, God's servant. He begins to tell them about the harvest time that they're going to see. He begins to press upon them, and he says, this is how you lay ahead. You can stand with the promise of God. God will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. You can stand the promises that God will lead you and that God will keep you. But there's a challenge here in these verses that Moses presents. And that challenge is that God's people need to be obedient to the things of the Lord. I want to speak just very briefly this morning. I'll try to go through as quickly as I possibly can. And this is the subject of going forward at harvest time. Because everybody wants to reap of that harvest and see the harvest progressing. Going forward at harvest time. Firstly, in this passage, it is in the verse 1 and 2, really, where I want to take my text from, really. I was thinking of the subject. Going forward at harvest time. And here we'll see in this verse, 3 verses, the people went forward with expecting hearts. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, thou shalt take of the first fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land. And the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose a place his name there. The people went with expectant heart, with God's servant Moses leading them. From the moment they left Egypt, these people grumbled. You know, in Scripture, they grumbled. The old song says, grumbled on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumbled the whole week through. But here are these people, they were grumbling from they left Egypt. There was an air of their grumbling, that they wanted to get away from Egypt. But they wanted immediately to see all things good. And no one wanted to face the hardships of traveling along that road to get to the point of going into the promised land. They just wanted to be there. At the same time, we have that same thought ourselves. We want to get there, but it's hard to go along that journey. But God promised to the children of Israel, you're going to the promised land. But you have to go on the journey to go forward. And for them to go forward into that promised land, they had to do something they must give unto the Lord. And the Bible indicates in that verse 1 and 2 that they had to give their harvest to the Lord. And verse 1 gives clarity. He says, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And God says, give. And that's why when we think of this harvest time, we think of the farmers that worked all year to bring in the fruit and the vegetables and bring in all the wheat and everything else and the milk. And don't ever forget about the milkman either, because the milk farmers are really important, especially in my house. We go through more milk than probably anybody else does. Somebody says to me, will you take black tea? You don't take any milk in your tea. I says, well, my children make up for it. And they drink more milk than anything else. And you know, we thank the Lord for every farmer. Whether it's for the apples that's going out. Whether it's for the fisherman, as I said. It's every person. We thank the Lord for all these crops and all these things that we have been provided for. Even when in times of squeeze and things come against us, we're thankful for the provisions that are laid out for each and every one of us. We thank the Lord for the florist. We thank the Lord for every single thing. I thank the Lord for the bread that I have in my home. But I thank the Lord for what He's done. But most of all, we're to give thanks to God Almighty, because it is of God that God gives us to receive these blessings. And today we stand as a children of God. I hope you're like me. You want to go forward. May God give us a heart for the labors of the Lord and be able to go forward in Him. The children of Israel here are told by Moses, he says, you must go forward. If you're going to go forward, then there's a promised land awaiting for you. And like the children of Israel, we're told that God has prepared for us, those that know and love, there's a promised land that we should receive. But God says, there's this opportunity to receive this. There's a time when you live in this land, but I want you to remember that you must take steps. You see, God wanted the children of Israel to inherit that land. God wanted them to receive that blessing. God wanted them to get many blessed things and the great things. But like them, are we willing to give our life, our work, our time, and our tithes unto the Lord? The people here expected, now that God has directed them, that they would go God's way. But they didn't merit. They didn't merit God's grace. They didn't merit God's grace and God's way, but God provided a way, just as God provides a way for every single person here, no matter how young you are. I have a six-year-old myself, and I see them. Yesterday, he was outside with his friends at home. And he came in, running in, crying. He had a sore arm, looking at a sore arm. And he had to get a plaster. Hardly was a cut there at all. But the thing about it was, he fell out of a tree and hit his bum. That was sore. And that was all the problem. But you know, for him to go forward, he needed a bit of TLC. He needed to be able to have that little TLC. And child of God, sometimes we just need that arms around about us. Remember, that's what God says. He'll put His arms around about us. And God says, if you want to go forward, just trust Me. I want to encourage you this morning. Because just like the children of Israel, you have come a long way. You look at these passages of Scripture. Over the last few passages, there's controversy after controversy. There's condemnation. But now it seems at the beginning of chapter 26, it's a new dawning. Harvest has arrived. Harvest time is before them. And there's a beginning in their hearts. And it seems their hearts are coming expecting God to bless them. They're expecting God to take them into this promised land. And there's expectantly because God has promised them. Because what God promises to do, I can assure you, God will do. And a work begun because they listened to God's servant Moses and they knew they couldn't go forward without God working in their hearts. And this harvest time, there's a time of reaping. And we appreciate the goodness of the health that God gives to us. And our brother mentioned in this opening prayer about the bounties of God to us. And you know, as I look at this passage, that was one of the headings I was even thinking about, the bounties of the work of God here in this passage. But God says, Moses, I need you to lead these people. But before I bless them, the people have to show themselves faithful. And to bring the harvest unto God. You see that down in those verses, 2, 3, 4. How to bring the harvest unto God, and that God has blessed them with. You see, God says, I'm going to bless you with a harvest. But God says, are you going to give over to me? And God says, and he says to these people, now Moses, tell them that I'm going to give them a harvest, but they must give over unto me. And that's a desire of my heart, that God would bless me as a preacher. As God, as a brother here would say, that God would bless him as a minister of the gospel of peace. That God would bless this congregation, just as my heart is for the place of Ballinahinchin. And yes, I was in Carrickfergus for 7 years. I trust that the Lord would bless them, that they shall grow as a people. But we want God to bless us. It's my desire that this land would once more be saturated with the glorious gospel message of God's saving grace and mercy. And for the work of God to go forward, there needs to be a giving to God. Whether it is of my time, my effort, my finances, your minister's time, and just for every one of you, all those things added in as well, that God says that's required of the children of Israel. And Moses says, if you're ready to give yourselves back to the Lord, he says, if you're ready, just give your harvest. Are you this morning ready to receive God's blessings? If you are, he says, you must just give to God as God has indicated. For if you do, there will be a time of reaping. Just to show you for yourself, chapter 28, just a couple of chapters over. In verses 1 it says in chapter 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and of the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of the kine, and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And there we find there's the blessings of the promise, a promise of the harvest time, of that time of reaping, that God promises a blessing. But to get there, the children of Israel cannot stay where they are. They have to go forward. They have to go into the promised land. They have been given, God's servant has told them, this is the instructions. And remember, this was all new for them. They've come to the dawning of the promised land. And they look forward now for God to guide them. They're expecting people. But why are they expecting people? Because so far in their lives, it wasn't an easy road. There were many ups and many downs. But now they see a glimmer of hope. And it seems finally things are about to change in their lives and things are about to move on. And God indicates that the change begins in them first. That they had to come to the land and they had to realize that God was delivering them. And because of this, they gave to the Lord, because they knew and they expected God's reward. And the news for them was that they should bring an offering unto the Lord. And the Lord indicates in verse 1, when thou art come into the land, meaning that there's a period when they've been outside the land. Just as an unsaved person is outside of the land promised to those who are in Christ Jesus to receive that unmerited grace by God's salvation, there has to be a possession. The people of Israel, they were outside. They knew that God had given them land, but they now acknowledged God's promises. And they begin to follow through as God says, possess the land. And they stand as a people with a heart to look forward. May that be County Armagh's heart for the Lord, that they want to go forward. May it be County Down where I'm ministering it. May it be the heart for the people there, where it be the heart for God. Quickly, there's another point. The people look forward during their time of offering. And you see that in verse 1 and into the verse number 2. I'll not read it because of time. But the indication in these verses is that they would not receive the benefits outside the land. Until they had planted the seed, until they did the work, until they were a time of reaping or bringing in of that harvest time, there would have to be that time of working. There would have to be that time of harvesting. And the Bible indicates that they had to do so, but there had to also be a time of waiting. You can't just plant seeds and say, well, tomorrow I'll see it, a pumpkin growing, and I'll see it all been there. See many pumpkins out here. See, the farmer that plants the apple trees. I have a little apple tree outside my house. It's only about this height so far. It's getting there. My young son planted a little old apple and put it in, so hopefully it'll grow up. You know, he doesn't say, well, here, I'm going to plant this seeds, and all of a sudden the tree's going to grow. There has to be that time of waiting. Praise God that God tells us when there's a waiting's done, there'll be a reaping. But there had to be a working. They had to work. They had to wait. I wonder for you this morning, what stage are you at? Is there the working? Is there getting ready? Or are you at the stage of reaping the harvest? Which stage are you at this morning? Because for us to be at a stage where we need to be, that stage should be we should be settled. I trust that you're settled here in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. I trust that you're settled in the work of the Lord, that the Lord would bless you. Because these people were ready. They were expecting God to help them to go forward with God by their side. But what they had to do was they had to give of their harvest. Did God say, I'm going to give you blessings, but you keep it for yourself? Did God say, you hold on and never give in? Tells us in verse 2, no, God says, give them over. That thou shalt take of the first fruit of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto a place which the Lord thy God shall choose, a place to place his name there. And they were told to bring it away from their own farmyard. They were told, give to God. That their land would be blessed of the Lord. And as a people, they were instructed that if they're ready, they'd be willing. Child of God, I know you want to receive the blessings of God. I know you want to see the promises of God upheld. I know you want to see God move. You know, when you read the commentators, they conclude that these two verses, we find the formal acknowledgement, indeed, and the symbol of God's faithfulness to a people who love Him. And there's a people here whose lives are given to Him because of having that relationship to God. Because of that relationship, they bring the basket and they fill it with first fruits and they give it over to God. They give it over to God. But what was the thing they were about to give? I'm not going to turn to it because of time, but in Numbers 18, verse 12, it tells us the first fruits of their very best. Just as it tells us here. They were, Numbers 18:12 says, give you of your very best. And if anyone expects to receive the best, we must give our best. And if you're looking with expectant heart this morning, if you're looking to go forward, then you must give of your very best to God. The fruit, the vegetables, the grain, the seed, the fish, and those things were important to give. And they should give them just as we should. But this is only part of the work. But there certainly needs to be a place to work. Today you sit in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. As a visiting preacher, I trust that you will have a heart for the work here. That you would have a heart for the laborers that go on here in this church. That you will give to the Lord and see a reaping if you faint not. Very quickly, thirdly, the people who were going forward. You read it in verse. I'll not read verse 2 again. Verse number 4. I can read all those verses. Verse 2, verse 3. We'll just read verse 4. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. This was the people of God. The children of Israel. God's people. But for them to go forward, they had to follow God's commands. They were speaking. And we're speaking here of a people who knew the Lord and knew the things of God. They were, and the preacher was a preacher and Moses, and he loved the Lord. But there had to be the people here in this passage of Scripture who loved God, who followed God, that would obey God's commandment. And these people were not just random people. But these were people who had a promise in their heart to inherit the promised land. And to possess it. Not everyone got into the promised land. Just like today, not everyone will get to heaven. But only those who will be in that promised land of glory will be those who are saved by God's grace and mercy and you're washed through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Song says all their ground is sinking sand. But I want to encourage you this morning in this harvest time to get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes of other things that are going on and get your eyes fixed on God. The children of Israel had to do that and get their eyes on God. They had to give of themselves there in that verse number 2. It wasn't that they got because someone else got it for them. This was personal. What God had given to them, they were to give to God. Thou shalt give, and it says, as the Lord thy God, Lord thy God giveth thee. And the people here, they're spoken. Spoken here of a harvest. They're bringing it to God. And this God said, they shall possess it. There's a few things that they had to do. Child of God, I believe, and we have to do as well. Give of what the Lord has blessed us with. The first fruits you see there. Secondly, give of what the Lord has given to you while we are on earth. You see that in that verse as well. Then there's another verse, another part of that verse too, we're to give unto God. Give as the Lord has enabled us. This day thou shalt go. You know what that was telling them? Finally, we shall see. There's also the arrangements of the people's offering. I'm not reading it because of time. Verse 3 and 4. Time has flew on me, it's past time. The charge then to bring them to the priest. He says, bring the basket. Bring it to the Lord's house, verse 4, to God's place. It would have been carried there to the place of worship. And when I read that passage, the word worship kept coming to mind. Why? Because before us is a people who were expecting to worship God. Meaning they believed the message God's servant said. They believed the promises of God and they believed with expectant mind at harvest time that God was going to move. They were ready to give knowing that God was going to move. You know, them verses, I'm not going to, but you can underline them. The first words of verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, you find it says, thou shalt take. Verse 4, thou shalt go. Or verse 3, thou shalt go. And the priest shall take. Verse 4, thou shalt take. Verse 5, thou shalt speak. And there's indicates and there's a command that the people of God would take, and they would be as coming unto God, whose glory and honor and praise, that they would come and they would speak of the Lord. They would give glory in their speech. They would talk of the Lord as they took these things to the Lord. They shall go to the house of the Lord, and they shall give it in the house of the Lord. And there's much more I could go into, but I'm jumping over because time's going on. But I pray that through us, that God in these days, we would be truly blessed of the Lord. That like the children of Israel here who are looking to be blessed abundantly, more than they could ever ask for, we too should be seeking God for exactly the same. And the Word of God says in verse 3, I profess this day, or I declare this day. There's an announcement of their profession. That the people would speak with their mouths and believe with their hearts and trust God, and the Lord would give the increase. And they were announcing that they're coming to call on God. It says in verse 8, unto the Lord thy God. They were directing their desires to God. It says, I am come to country which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give. There's a promise that they're going to where God promised to them. And the thought here is that there's going to be joy. There's joy. For them, it was a joy for them to do a work for God. It was a joy for them to give unto the Lord. It was a joy for them to be present with the people of God. And they come to God's servant and they bring the basket in verse 4. And they set it where God proclaims it should be set. And it's a token unto the Lord. Unto God. And for the work of God. You know, the natural and the moral use of the first fruits of Israel was to bring them to the altar. And by doing so, what would have been their own acknowledgement that God was the owner of the land of Canaan. But they must possess it. That they must know that God will bless them, showing that by them giving of the first fruits, they're proclaiming something. They're proclaiming an oath to God. God, we will give back. That they believed in the promise that God had given to their fathers, and they stand on the promise with thanksgiving unto God. Unto God. So today, let us come with thanksgiving in this harvest service for the goodness of the seeds and for goodness that were planted on the earth. For the Lord that gave the watering, that the Lord gave the wind and the sunshine, and God brought forth the increase in season. If you, child of God, go home this morning from the service, I ask you to do something. Spread the seed. Spread the word. Spread the seed that the word will generate in hearts and bring forth fruit. May you hold on to God's promise. That God promises us to build His church. And let us stand faithful. And let us give our hearts unto God. And as we said at the beginning of this meeting, let us be a people who are looking forward at this harvest time. Say, but preacher, do I just look forward at harvest time? No. We look forward all the year round. Because sometimes in the year, there's the planting. We have to plant the seed. There's other times we have to water that seed. There's other times we have to have come and look after it. But there's a gathering together, just as the children of Israel here did. They gathered together. Why did they gather together? Because they wanted to see God at work. They wanted to go to the promised land. They wanted to see God move. You're gathered here in the house of the Lord this morning. Time's gone. I trust that you want to go forward. May you go forward even at this harvest time, brother.
Turning please to hymn 734. As we come to the close of the service, we thank our brother for his message on the first fruits that Israel brought to the house of the Lord. May we go forward as a congregation in the Lord's service, and may the Lord enable us to give liberally, give as generously as we can to his work. Just before we sing, our closing hymn, we want as well to extend our sympathy as a congregation to Mrs. Christina Coulter. Mrs. Ivy Sturt, of course, was Christina's aunt as well. I apologise that I overlooked that a little earlier in the meeting. It is difficult sometimes when you're announcing a death just to remember all of the connections, the family connections. It was my mistake, and I apologise for that. But we pray that Christina and all the family too will also know the Lord's presence and comfort at this time of sad loss for them. 734, please. We'll just sing the first two verses. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eaves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So just verses 1 and 2, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Father, we want to thank you for the time we've had together in your house in the meeting this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship thee, to give thee the praise, the thanksgiving of our hearts. We're mindful, Father, that you're the one that gives us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy, that all that we have, that you have provided and blessed us with. And Lord, as we think of all that you have given to us, even as we've heard today, enable us, Father, to give back to thee of that bounty, to give back to thee of your goodness and provision, even to give of our lives and our time and our talents in the service of the Master. Pray, Father, we'll go forward as a congregation. Pray that you'll open new doors of service and of opportunity to us. Bless our brother in his continued ministry in Ballinahinch. Pray that the hand of God mightily will rest upon him. Bless the meetings even there today. Remember, Father, those that grieve and mourn, that have been to the gravesite, that have passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember Sister Edith and her sister Christina, our brother Oscar and their family circles. Lord, we're reminded at this autumn time that we all do fade as a leaf, that we're going down the valley one by one, with our faces towards the setting of the sun. Pray that each here will know the Saviour, be ready for that day when their soul is summoned out into eternity. And help us, Father, each to redeem the time that we have and give ourselves wholeheartedly in the service of Christ. Go with us now, go with us through the day, and bless again the meeting tonight, Father. Bring in the lost, and bring the wandering one to Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.